This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Of a huge community of hardworking people who are really the backbone of this society. They're really the core of the Southern California society. We're calling for an end to ICE raids, an end to the terrorism being perpetrated against the community.
Don White fue un activista toda la vida, fue alguien que él era una, bueno, aquí en Los Ángeles, realmente una pieza clave pues en el movimiento.
And you've been listening to a rebroadcast of this evening's news here on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming to you on the web at www.wbai.org. The time right now is 12 o'clock. Up next at the hour of midnight here on WBAI is The Night Shift.
Say, someday a girl's gonna come along and change your world forever. You have no idea.
Can you let me out at the next corner, please?
Please be quiet.
6 weeks ago, I was just like you. And then I met her.
I thought he'd be taller.
I really think you have me mixed up with somebody else.
I want you to curve the bullet.
I don't know what that means.
Only a few people in the world have this ability, and you are one of them.
You're crazy.
Shoot the target.
Let your instincts guide you. This is your destiny. Join us. We are a fraternity of assassins. The weapons of fate.
Kill one. Save a thousand.
The fraternity has trained assassins for thousands of years. You'll be given everything you need
to kill your target.
You ever thought about doing things differently?
How do you mean?
Being somebody normal?
No. We don't know how far the ripples of our decisions go. That's what we believe in. And that's why we do it.
Are you gonna bond here?
Would you like to?
for us should have made a performance of best that year. Saya tidak punya wewenang untuk memberikan keterangan pers. Baiknya Anda telepon ke Kamus Polres.
these two clans split into the Reds and the Whites. Wage war. Their story goes a little something like this.
Ito, Yusuke Isaya, Kaori Mamoy, Yoshino Kimura, and Quentin Tarantino in Takashi Miike's Sukiyaki Western Django.
And the time right now is 12:20 here on the night shift on WBAI 99.5 FM. And what you're listening now to now, excuse me, is Chris Walden's Symphony No. 1, The Four Elements. Chris is a film composer who's finally found some time to do, you know, a classical kind of symphony. And they passed that along to us. And I thought it was kind of appropriate background music, as Mike Sargent handed it to me. But we've been listening to a bunch of stuff prior to that. In between the music, we heard the trailer for Wanted, the new Angelina Jolie movie. And we'll talk about why we played that later. But we also heard some trailers to some Asian films. A film called Kala, a film called Suzuki, Western Django. And the reason why is because this past Friday, the 2008 New York City Asian Film Festival kicked off. And joining us in studio is the director of the festival, Grady Hendricks. Good morning, Grady.
Good morning. How are you?
Alrighty. So I was actually looking over the, which you send out early, and I believe it launched June 6th, the full schedule went live?
Yes, June 6th. We finally got our act together and got the schedule out there.
And I have to say, it's I have to excuse me, it's been a long weekend. It's actually, what, like 3 weeks, the festival this year?
Yep, 17 days, and last year we showed 29 films. This year we're showing 43. So, you know, we're like that friend you haven't seen in a while who got real fat when you weren't looking. Still kind of the same thing, but bigger.
Okay. And there's two venues, the IFC Center.
Right.
And the Japan Society.
Yeah.
Now, I know previous to that you would use the Imagination Theater.
We used to work at the Imagination, and we worked at the Anthology Film Archives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Japan Society, it helps us out a little bit. They've got a staff who can sort of devote themselves to helping us do some translation and stuff like that. And
cool.
IFC, it's a good location for us.
How I'm not familiar with the theater. How's the theater at the Japan Society?
It's good. It's good. They finally put in a really, really nice sound system last mm-hmm. year. Before they had a good one, not a great one. It's nice. And they've got the prettiest lobby in all of New York City with a little waterfall in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then what's the concession stand like?
Free beer, actually.
Wow.
Yep.
Just like in Europe.
They've got some beer sponsor, and they in the bathrooms, it's hot and cold running beer.
No, they don't. You're pulling my...
No, but in the lobby, it's cold
beer. At
the
fest, there's free beer?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When we show Sukiyaki Western Django on July 5th, your ticket gets you entry to the party afterwards with unlimited free beer. Unlimited. We mean unlimited.
From Kieran, right?
From Joe. No, this is going to be from Sapporo, I
believe. Wow, Sapporo.
Yeah, I know. We're taking a step up from the K's to the S's.
Well, let's head over there now.
Stop. It's too late. It's wee hours in the morning. Although, there are some really good midnight features. But I wanted to talk about some of the highlights of the festival because... You know, you were kind enough to give me some screeners, and, you know, I have to say, in order of what I really enjoyed and was really impressed for, we were just talking before we came on air, was Kala,
yes.
which is an amazing film, beautifully shot, well acted, and what country is that from again?
It's from Indonesia.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're like me, you probably don't know much at all about Indonesia.
Exactly.
But the movie's by a guy named Joko Anwar. And his first movie about 2 years ago was a romantic comedy. His first movie to sort of get a lot of prominence. And he's made his fame, really, in Indonesia, writing romantic comedies and sex comedies and things like that. And then he sort of busted out with this movie last year that... I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of like Dark City meets, you know, an Indonesian horror film. It's sort of this alternate future to Jakarta with all these people trapped in this sick conspiracy, and they are all sort of drowning in each other's blood by the time it ends. He shot it for something like $600,000.
Wow.
And it is just this beautiful, stylish film noir thriller horror movie. And, it's getting a lot of attention. It was a huge blockbuster in Indonesia when it came out. It features more decapitations than you get in your normal films. And, you know, it really blew us all away when we saw it. And well, it has a rocking thrash metal song over the end credits.
So. Oh, which is in the beginning of it, yeah, too, a little bit. So if you're out there and you're hooked up to a computer right now and you're, you know, burning the midnight oil and you want to check out some of the stuff that we're talking about right now, some of the highlights of the festival, you can go to subwaycinema.com. And you'll find the complete listings for the festival, and some trailers are up there, and
trailers,
some photos.
We've even gone out of our way to subtitle the trailers, as many as we could this year.
Oh, you guys did that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, the Tamami, The Baby's Curse, which is a horror movie
about
a killer baby, they were shocked and horrified when they saw the trailer pop up online with subtitles. And the distributor calls, "Who did this? Who did this?" Well, we don't know. These things just happen. You know, I think if they can't control it, they worry about it. But come on, when you've got a trailer that features giant title cards in the middle that say 15-year-old girl versus 15-year-old baby, and scenes of a baby chewing someone's neck off with a sudden slash of a title across the screen that says, "Scary, but exciting, but also sad." How can you not translate that and bring it to the world?
That was, I watched that one also, and that was very, very interesting, very, very over the top, a little bit different than what we've come to, a lot of people might expect from the glut of American remakes of some of the Japanese horror films, and then going on to discover the originals.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's, the director is the guy who directed, I don't know if you saw Cromarty High School, or Battlefield Baseball, but he's mostly known for doing comedies. And so he directed all of Tamami, The Baby's Curse, I think is their ultimate English title for it, with this real tongue-in-cheek kind of early 80s style. I mean, it looks like it's from 1983, except for these outrageous eruptions of, you know, goopy red gore that keep popping up in it, and the killer baby. So, yeah, it's this real, almost tongue-in-cheek kind of satire of this stuff.
And you know, going from babies to puppies, one of the films that's a short, and it's a 30-minute short that plays very, very quickly, is a film called A Puppy, A Family.
Did you watch that?
I did. I watched that.
What did you think?
That was intense. And I think what really makes that film frightening is over the end credits,
yeah,
it kind of tries to make some social commentary too by showing some of the dogs that are raised in puppy mills and abused and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's, you know, the guy who made that is named Park Jae-young, and he's really famous in Korea for his shorts, of course. I mean, not his underwear, but his actual short films. And I don't think there's much of a living in it. But actually, when we screen that this coming Saturday, June 28th, he's going to be there for the screening. And he makes these movies with his brother. And I think A Puppy, A Family is really phenomenal. I mean, it's basically this sort of black comedy. It starts out as a black comedy about a family. They have a dog, a little lap dog, and they move into a building, a new apartment building with a no dogs allowed policy. And so they basically abandon the dog. And, you know, and then the rest of the movie is the tiny little poodle taking its bloody revenge on the entire family. And it's, you know, it goes from being goofy and silly to gory and bloody to, like you said, I mean, really kind of affecting at the end.
All right. Now, I have to say, part of the reason why I haven't joined in so much this conversation, because Joe never loaned me any of the DVDs. I know he is. I didn't see one DVD for weeks. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great. He gave me a couple at the con. And yeah, I'll get those copies too. I'll get those right over. But let me ask you a question. One of the other things that some of the Asian films are known for, depending on whether it's Japan, Korea, China, is not just the horror,
right,
not just the weird, just no way to describe it, but some of the beautiful, lush epics that have been coming out. So now, what do you have in the epic, lush epic?
Well, in terms of, if you're looking for a lush epic, what I would say you have to see are King Nariswan 1 and 2, which are the two most popular movies ever released in Thailand. They're directed by a prince, 13th in line for the throne. Whoa. And basically, they're total hardcore old-school Hollywood-style epics that are about the first sort of warrior king of Thailand, who basically, it's a popular story in Thailand. You know, he beat up the Burmese and founded the country's borders. And each movie's 3 hours long. They go by like white lightning. And the first movie is sort of a little more subdued. It's a little like Fellowship of the Ring, if you're going to make a Lord of the Rings comparison. Okay. There's the action, the set pieces in there. The second movie is, I mean, the climax of it is a 90-minute, in this three, a 90-minute-long battle sequence featuring war elephants and 9-foot-long rifles and Amazon warrior princess kill squads. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous to watch, but it's huge. I mean,
now, when is this playing?
This is playing, well, it's coming up a few times off and on throughout the week, but the time to see it is this coming Sunday, the 29th, when we're playing Narswan 1 and 2 back-to-back. And you sort of take these, and it's like you just give up, you know. You just go with them. And I really like them a lot. Out of a lot of things we're showing, they're really phenomenal movies.
Let me just ask you, though, the context here, because I think we were talking about it last time you were here. One of the things that's really happened with, you know, Asian films is they've gone from, like, these karate films to, you know, sort of these epics where there's fighting and battling, but there's always, you know, deeply entrenched with historical, you know, accuracy and the history of Japan or China or Korea or whatever it is. Is that trend continuing? What's your take on why do you think that's come of age?
It's coming of age, but it's also dying out. I mean, a lot of these big, huge period epics, basically, you know, they got really popular when they started coming out of China, and Japan was the first people to do them in, like, the 80s. Now they came out of China. And what's happened is right now in China, it's kind of all you can make. There's a lot of restrictions with the Olympics coming up on what passes muster with the censors. So people are sticking with these period movies.
So it's better to stay in the past than to talk about what's going on in the present.
Exactly. But also countries like Thailand are finally in a position economically and in terms of their filmmaking infrastructure, if I can pull out a $5 word, to sort of like start making these movies themselves. So you're seeing these come from Thailand now. Korea's been doing them a little bit. You're probably going to be seeing them from, like, Indonesia and the Philippines in the next couple of years. It's just, as the technology gets more affordable, to be able to put together these massive epics. I mean, who doesn't want to have these sort of nation-shaping movies, you know, where everyone can get together and see the story of how their country kicked the other country's butts in the past.
Well, now one more thing here. The other thing that well, I have to ask you, what do you have from Vietnam this year?
Vietnam, we've got The Rebel. Which
they've been really making some interesting films there in the last 3 years.
They have been. And The Rebel is, oddly enough, one of the stars in it who plays the bad guy is Dustin Nguyen from 21 Jump Street.
Sure.
But The Rebel is, it's basically, I think it's the movie everyone wanted Indiana Jones 4 to be. It's a flat-out Saturday afternoon matinee cliffhanger that's basically one long chase scene from beginning to end.
Did you see The Rebel, Joe?
No, I didn't get that one.
Good.
I know.
Send me that one.
Well, it's basically set in the 20s when the French sort of ruled Vietnam, and, you know, how humiliating is that? The French take over your country. And it's about a guy who's a secret agent for the French. He's a Vietnamese guy who rounds up anti-colonialist rebels and tortures them to death. And he sort of starts realizing, well, this isn't such a great job. You know, I'm rounding up my countrymen and basically killing them. So he goes on the lam with his hot, sexy revolutionary chick.
Of course.
And, yes, exactly. And all his co-workers have to come after him. And it is a wall-to-wall action scene. And as one of the Subway members who I work with said, you know, the best action movies come from the countries where unions haven't quite arrived yet and life's still a little cheap. So, you know, I think in Vietnam you can get a couple of stuntmen for the price of a bucket of, like, you know, KFC or something, because these guys are out there falling under trucks, driving motorcycles into each other's heads. I mean, it is hardcore, pedal to the metal stuff.
Okay, now one more thing, because the best thing I think about your festival, besides you, of course, is that you're right, like, on the cutting edge of, like, what's coming or what's about to come or what's just happening. Now, the other thing that I've seen happen the last few years, at one time, you know, everybody knows Japanese anime, and anime out of Japan, but in the last few years, Korea, China. So do you have any anime from, or I guess they don't call them, any animated films from any other Asian
countries? Don't, actually. And
what?
We just don't have any animation this year, which is a real bummer, because a great animated film just came out of Korea. It was just released about a week ago, and it's done in the same style.
I read about this.
It's done in the same style of Waking Life or Through a Scanner Darkly, rotoscoping,
right.
Where they film the actors and then paint over it. And it's taken them something like 2 years to draw this movie. over the live action. It's a romantic comedy about three guys in love with the same girl, but this footage I've seen is really great looking, and I'm kind of bummed we didn't get it this year. It wasn't on our radar until too
late.
Next year. Exactly. Next year. And I do want to say one thing. Life is cheap in Vietnam for stuntmen, but we are showing a movie called Action Boys. It's a documentary from Korea that I didn't want to show. I got outvoted by the other four guys in Subway. I thought it was way too bleak. It's a documentary from Korea about five guys who become stuntmen, and it follows them from their audition tapes to get into a stunt training school all the way through basically one of them is left still able to walk on his own two feet by the end and still in the business. And it is the harshest, cruelest, meanest, if you ever wanted to see, you know, it's sort of like finding out where your sneakers come from when you're like, right, oh my God, right. These are made by like 11-year-old children in like Manila. Right, right. Like this is like finding out where your action movies come from. Imagine Jackie Chan and all the horrible things that have happened to his body happening to guys who never get famous, who never make that much money. You know, and they're just like actors. These guys are fighting. And
did you see that one, Joe?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys are fighting to get parts. You know, they're fighting like an actor to get a role.
Wow.
But the role consists of doing something horrible like falling off a building or flipping a car over
and
on top of it.
And do they get well paid for this?
Or? No, not at all. I mean, they live in some of the most squalid misery and poverty I've ever seen. And actually, I don't know if you saw Old Boy. The famous hammer fight in Old Boy. The guy who choreographed that is the stunt guy's mentor, and he actually dies during the course of this documentary on the set of The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which is a big new action movie coming out of China, and the movie company hushed it up because they felt like it was bad luck for this guy's death to be associated with their film that's their big blockbuster for the year. So this documentary is the only place his death is, like, publicly mentioned.
Wow.
And, you know, you just see what a thankless job
it is. Now,
who
made this documentary?
Basically, this guy who works in television in Korea who sunk his own money into making this documentary. And what's funny is we decided to show this. I was outvoted. I said, this is too grim. People are going to get depressed. They're never going to see an action movie again. I was outvoted. We're showing it. And
when is it showing?
That is showing later this week, but the big one is the people called us and they said, oh, we're going to come. And we're like, well, who's going to come? They're like, well, all nine of us. So at this point, it looks like the director, the producer, and the five stuntmen are all coming to the July 3rd screening we're doing of Action Boys.
All, not the dead guy's not coming.
No, the dead guy, no, he's not going to come. We're going to. He's going to rest in peace.
Okay.
The five guys, they only one of them is still in the stunt business at this point. The rest have blown out knees and all these other things. But they all, I don't know if they're all actually going to wind up here, but they said they're coming. So on July 3rd, we'll see how many make it over.
July 3rd, they'll be here.
They'll be here.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're all pretty psyched about it. And we're like, you know, we can't really pay for your plane ticket. They're like, it's okay. We're used to suffering. We'll take the economy class.
You will flap our wings.
Exactly.
Wow. So now, what's the website address?
It's subwaycinema.com.
Now, this began when?
This began on Friday.
This past
Friday.
Only 3 days ago.
Only 3 days ago.
So
we
only missed 3 days.
Only missed 3 days. We got 14 days to go. A lot of our best stuff is still coming up. And oddly enough, probably thanks to the fact that we're on night shift on, you know, every year for the last couple of years, we're doing way better than we've done in the past. This year,
well, clearly.
Exactly. But we're doing way better. The audiences are bigger and the festival's bigger. I mean, we're running noon to midnight almost 7 days a week right now.
Wow.
So, and people are coming out for it. So we're happy.
When do you sleep?
We don't. You know, it's there are five of us who do this, so it's like army of five. You know, the military is only army of one. We're like four people better on them, you know.
Is that why you wear the bright red shirt to keep you up?
Exactly. I just kind of stare at it to burn my eyes out. And we inject Red Bull into our eyes.
I understand.
keeps us going.
Keeps you going. Yeah. Keeps the pupils dilated.
Exactly.
I understand.
And, you know, Joe, I can't believe you aren't sitting here talking about Tokyo Gore, please.
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet.
I'll let you talk about the movies I haven't seen.
Now, that's the big hush-hush one because they were very strict on not letting anything get out there. And
right. And it just, the first airing was this past Saturday. And I think the audience, I don't know if you saw Machine Girl.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. This is from the special effects director of Machine Girl is the director, regular director of Tokyo Gore Police, the lead actress is the woman from Audition, the Takashi Miike.
Wow, okay.
The bad date woman, who actually hasn't done a movie since then.
I was going to say.
Yeah, she hasn't done a thing. And it is, I think the audience was sort of prepared for something campy and fun, like Machine Girl. The movie's fun, but the movie is so twisted and so sick. I mean, it's like RoboCop, sort of this dark science fiction comedy about the near future when the police force in Japan is privatized and some kind of hideous virus is on the loose that's causing people to turn into sexually depraved, re-engineered biological freaks and mutants. And
so zombies eating things other than just brains.
Exactly. They're not quite zombies. Oh, okay. I mean, they're like, they're hideous mutant freaks.
Okay.
But it is really, really face-melting, I have to say. The audience came in, and at one point, someone in the middle, there was a lull in the middle of the movie, and someone screamed from the front row, "I can't believe what I'm seeing! My head's exploding!" And I gotta say, everyone was probably thinking the same thing. I mean, it is just, it is a relentless barrage of geysers of gore. Some of the freakiest special effects makeup you're going to see in your life, including the half alligator woman, which if you've seen the movie will stick with you for the rest of your life. And on top of that, it's interspersed with all these made-up commercials from the future featuring things like a version of the Wii that lets you torture political prisoners and police who arrest a pedophile spying on a children's soccer game and then kill him and use his severed head to play soccer with the kids.
Hey, wait a minute. They took that from Fudo.
Well, right, exactly. So it's it is completely insane. It's coming up this Saturday night at midnight, and then on July 3rd, it's screening at a matinee show.
Wow, look at that. What a way to celebrate the pre-4th of July.
To wallow in gore and depravity.
Wow.
And but isn't that what our country is founded on?
It is. And you know, speaking of gore and depravity, it was like I was wondering how many films this year you were going to have in the festival by the infamous Takashi Miike.
Ah, only two. Like a Dragon, which was just showing tonight, which is odd. It's based on a video game, but it's a little bit like if you found out Martin Scorsese's After Hours was based on a video game.
Okay.
It takes place in one night in Shinjuku, the Tokyo neighborhood, and it features a masochistic gun dealer, a sadistic, ultra-violent baseball fan, Yakuza, who's just out of jail, who's been in prison for so long he doesn't even know what a cell phone is, a pair of young lovers on the run who are knocking over banks for fun, a pair of incompetent bank robbers, and a missing satchel of money. And it's all these people crossing ultra-violent paths in one night, and it's kind of a send-up of the old sort of samurai chivalry movies from the 60s, but it's your typical Takashi Miike freak out extravaganza. So it plays like an action movie sort of amped up to 11, but every now and then these gangsters get a power up or, you know, some kind of like Street Fighter combo blow. So we're showing that, and then we're showing on July 5th Sukiyaki Western Django, which is Takashi Miike's English language remake of the 1966 Sergio Corbucci film Django Kill, or no, just Django. About the Western Wild West gunman who wanders into town and turns two warring gangs against each other. And it's filmed all in English. The actors all learned English phonetically. And it's got a long cameo in it from Quentin Tarantino playing a elderly, not only an elderly gunslinger who's trapped in a steam-powered wheelchair, but also a sort of wandering gunman who teaches one of the lead heroines how to not only make the best kind of sukiyaki, but also to kill at 1,000 paces. So it is absolutely crazy.
I have to say, that was funny, because when I was watching Like a Dragon, at one point, it almost feels like you're watching like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
At a point, but it's so crazy and insane and over the top. And
you know, the best thing is by now, Miike has made so many movies since he made this, since the guy makes like 8 a year, that he's probably forgotten what these movies are. I mean, he's, you know, we're getting them like they're new movies, you know, Miike movies from, you know, early 2008, Like a Dragon and Sukiyaki Western Django. By Miike time, that's like 2008, it's like a year ago. He's already way into the future. And if anyone misses the screening of Sukiyaki Western on the 5th, it's getting a theatrical release, actually, from First Look on August 19th, I think it is.
Okay.
But they're actually putting some money behind it, and they had sort of a presence at Comic-Con this year, and they're running ads and doing all kinds of stuff. So it's not going to just get 1 week of play. They're actually pushing it out on screens around the country.
It looks like a lot of fun. So I know that this past weekend you had two events kicking off the opening of the party, and other than the Sukiyaki Western Django little event that's going on, anything else special planned for the festival?
Well, every day is a special day for the festival. No, we're not. We don't really. It's sort of exhausting to do this stuff since there are only five of us. And so, you know, the party's at the beginning and the party at the end for us, that's sort of like, that's working it hard. However, we've got, one of our sponsors is Kirin, which makes Kirin beer, obviously. And so we are giving out cases and six packs of Kirin as a prize before screenings. but we're also giving out a bottle opener separately. So, you know, the two people who win the bottle opener, the people who win the beer, all have to get together and sort of pool their resources. We're trying to have this be a film festival that teaches people cooperation and sharing, not just enjoying good movies.
And speaking of sharing, I know we were talking about you were going to have some passes available for the listeners to call in and they can win. What are we gonna offer them?
Well, since you've been talking about it so much, I think we should offer them passes for Kala,
okay,
which is coming up this Thursday night. There's a screening of Kala at 9:15 p.m. on Thursday, okay. June 26th. And why not offer passes to Tokyo Gore Police, just because don't believe anything I say about it. Come and see it with your own two eyes. There's a matinee screening, so if you don't have a job or if you're off work on July 3rd, Tokyo Gore Police is screening at 4:20 on Thursday, July 3rd. And what better thing to do than blow off work and go eat popcorn and watch a movie with strange, depraved people who want to see this, just like you.
Okay. So we'll have those available. If you want to give us a drop us an email at NITESHIFTZ. If you can make one or the other, one is called Kala, K-A-L-A, and the other one is Tokyo Gore Police. Put those in the subject line, and we'll do a drawing out of the folks that we get, and we'll let you know that you've won some passes. If you've been intrigued, and I'm sure you have been, about just some of the films that are in the festival running now until, when does it run until?
It's running until July 6th.
July 6th. You can go to SubwayCinema.com. You've got the complete schedule up there.
Schedule, ticket sale, tickets are on sale, showtimes, write-ups, trailers, pretty pictures,
and
connect the dots
pictures.
Games, everything you could want on a website.
And there are some guests that are showing up for some of the screenings, so you can get that information there. And you might be lucky enough to win tickets and maybe even win some beer.
To win tickets and win beer. Who could be luckier?
There you go. So, Grady, I want to thank you for coming out.
Nope, thanks for having me.
And I know we could probably talk the rest of the night, but I think
I think your listeners deserve a break from my hideous squawk.
The other thing, too, is I'm sure you before the festivities kick off for tomorrow's screening events, you could catch up on a little sleep, even if
sleep?
It is 2 hours.
What is that thing you call sleep?
So, again, Grady Hendrix, the director of...
One of the co-directors. We're codependent.
There you go. Of the New York City Asian Film Festival, running until July 6th here in New York City. Screenings taking place at the IFC Center and the Japan Society. For all the information, and I'm sure there is something for everyone at the festival, please go to SubwayCinema.com and check out what's playing. You've only missed a couple of days. Everything is getting multiple screenings, so if there's something that you missed over the last couple of days, you can probably find another screening of it coming up. Grady, thank you for putting this together. I know it's a daunting task, but you know, every year you put together a great palette of films.
Well, we do it for the flattery, so
okay,
it makes it all worthwhile.
So, the time is 12:49. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, streaming on the web at WBAI.org. This is The Night Shift. Grady Hendrix, thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
And we will return shortly.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Comm Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
Now, where are my people? Now, where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
I think there's no place to hide.
It feels like times have changed.
watch the dream fading now.
I think there's no place to hide.
Feels like times have changed. 99.5 FM.
The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
The name of the show.
Nature. Now, where are my people?
Good morning, Joe.
The 70 billion
morning,
people of Earth, where are they hiding?
So you're going to go down to the Fast Art. Is there anything you really want to see on the big screen down there?
Well, I do want to see Suzuki Western Django.
Okay.
And I do want to see the Tokyo Gore Police.
Of course you do.
So there you go.
Of course you do. And you also saw Wanted this evening.
Yes, I did.
And I didn't get to go. I'm going to go on Thursday.
All right.
Which, with the people we've invited.
There you go.
Where are we inviting people? Talk to me. What do we have going?
We've got some tickets.
Well,
there.
Talk to me. Tell me the deal.
We've got some passes. It's for this Thursday, 7 o'clock.
Now, let's give a little history. It's based on the graphic novel by Mark Miller.
Yes.
It's directed by the Russian director who did Day Watch.
Yes.
You pronounce the name. I'm not even trying. Day Watch.
That's where I stopped.
Timur. Okay. Timur Bekmambetov.
Yes, and yes. I've got some stuff. We'll run it next week with him.
Oh yeah, you interviewed him.
So
how's his English?
It's good.
It's good. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So you interviewed?
Yeah.
Really? You interviewed him before you saw the movie?
Yes.
Now would you have asked him different questions?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. And I have to say, there's.
Why don't you have it here tonight?
Why?
Come down. I want to hear it. I want to hear what he has to say.
I didn't finish editing it. I was at the Fangoria convention this weekend.
Oh, you were at a convention. What was it you called it? It was a convenience.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Luxury. You're at the luxury convention. Chris, are you there?
Yeah.
Chris is there.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Chris.
You didn't go to the convention, did you?
No, I want to see the Stuntman movies. Wow.
You want to see the Stuntman? Yeah, was that heavy? Was that heavy?
The bakery. Just plain old buffoonery.
Didn't you think the Stuntman movie was kind of heavy?
That sounds heavy, man.
It sounds really heavy.
Sounds awesome, actually.
Are you in the city, or are you still upstate?
I'm still upstate. All
right, so he's not coming to
you. He
might
fly down. He could fly down.
You know what's funny is Mike said, is that guy coming?
Who?
Did you laugh?
Like, they were going to bring him in.
Well, he's like, everybody's coming. I don't think even, Joe, you didn't even catch that when I asked him.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't understand what Chris was saying there for a moment, because he was like stepping on himself.
Who was stepping on myself?
You were.
He says that you're stepping on yourself. Joe, did you ever... all right, well, first of all, Joe, give me your review, because you just gave me some really blurbous review.
It was a relentless adrenaline rush with one of the most intense opening sequences since Terminator 2.
Wow.
Remember that like whole thing where they jump on the motorbike and Arnold's coming after them? He rescues them, and there's the other Terminator in the truck and
everything, that whole sequence. Great. Cameron-esque.
Oh, this goes beyond that. So
it goes beyond that.
Flying cars.
How is that possible?
Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't. I don't want to. I'm tired of seeing trailers and knowing half the movie.
It was great. I got to tell you. It was very, very well shot. A lot of
I'm down. I really was impressed with some of the stuff he got to do in Night Watch. So I'm excited. So we've got passes for this Thursday at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And what
event
are people
not to be missed?
Now you're gonna have them down here. We're gonna have some down here at the station.
Okay, we'll leave them right here.
We'll leave them right here. Okay.
That's it. You gotta come and get them.
Come down to the station, 120 Wall Street, 10th floor, between 9 and 6. Come down. They'll be here. They'll be going fast.
Like
as
the movie.
Word gets out, yes, like the movie.
Yes.
And what's the phone number here, Joe?
212-209-2900.
I was going to let you choose. I had two themes. We didn't get to talk off air, but yeah. I had a choice of two themes.
Oh, all right.
Should I tell you off air?
Yeah, sure. Tell me off air.
I'm going to tell Joe off air, and we're going to decide what the theme of the show will be. And Chris, how was your week?
It was good. How about you?
My week was very, very, very busy. Very busy. Life is full of change, Joe.
I'm bumming that George Carlin died.
I know. I brought a George Carlin thing I wanted to play. But I wanted to open with it.
How many heart attacks did he had?
I don't know.
I know, because he, for a long time, he had to stop
living La Vida Loca because he had a heart attack.
Really?
I didn't know he was living La Vida Loca. Oh, yeah, please. I mean, he openly admitted to, like, all the alcohol and drugs.
He had four.
Yeah. And you know, he just played Vegas this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah, Saturday night or something, he played Vegas or whatever. And then,
wow. Just like that.
Yep.
Wow.
It's kind of deep, man. You're like, you're having chest pains, you go in the hospital, and you die.
You think you usually go to the hospital, you know.
They can't save you there, man.
No, you know, it's George Carlin has a very special place in my mind. I think of my childhood listening to George Carlin. I remember the George Carlin records. I think of my sister, actually, precisely, because I remember us listening to those records. I had his two records, the one, the blue cover and the green cover, Occupation Fool, and, mm-hmm. and the other one.
Class Clown.
A Class Clown. I had those albums. I played them to death. I could quote them backwards and forwards.
I got to tell you, though, you know, Harlan Ellison said that you know, the problem with America is that not only do we not write well,
Did you see that Harlan Ellison documentary, by the way?
No, okay. I heard about that. But that we don't write well and we don't speak well. And the one thing you have to admit is that George Carlin was a master wordsmith.
Yeah, he was a master wordsmith, but he was an insightful MF. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he bordered really, on philosophy.
Yeah, he was there. I think, you know, and it's interesting. I was just reading something about his career, and they were saying how, you know, he hit that peak that you mm-hmm. want to get to. He won the Grammy, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even on one of those two albums you hear him winning the Grammy. He goes, hey, I won the Grammy for the comedy album. And he lets his hair down. But he didn't go that route. He could have, you know, started making movies and doing
like other things. He could have went to Bill Cosby route.
Like, just the root of any successful career comedian, pretty much. And he stayed counterculture. He stayed counterculture. That was what he was all about. He rejected a whole lot of things and was, you know, inflammatory when he wanted to be.
And you know, he was going to be, he was scheduled this November to receive the Mark Twain Award.
See?
So,
no, that's it would be well deserved.
He was a modern Mark Twain because his ascorbic wit was a lot like that of Mark Twain.
Very true.
Sorely missed that last
HBO special
he did.
He said he felt it was his best work.
I mean, and the funny thing was that he came out on stage and he looked old, and this old man comes out on stage and. You almost feel like, I mean, he's not in his groove when he starts the show, and he just pumps himself up, and he starts straightening up, and he starts getting animated, and
gets the blood going,
and he became his former self again.
Wow.
Stand-up
kept him alive.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, comedy. I was just thinking recently that, for the most part, you know, when it comes to success as a comedian, you know, it's really all about going on and making movies. And pretty much over the last 30, 40 years, all the comedians that have been the most successful all came out of TV.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a Saturday Night Live or a TV show, I mean, everybody from Jim Carrey, Steve Carell, Adam Sandler, Tom Hanks,
yeah, but what,
Eddie Murphy.
But what? Well,
everybody. You name Bill Murray.
There was that hiatus. I know what you're talking about. SNL, right?
Yeah.
And when you talked about, like, you know, Dan Aykroyd and those guys.
And it's not just SNL, but that's major.
That was around the same time, too, because when you talk about Tom Hanks, Bosom Buddies was happening
was
the same 70s, time.
All the 70s. But, I mean, that's when it happened. But it's always been that. Jackie Gleason. I mean, you go back, TV comedians on TV, people mm-hmm. get to see. I'm just saying that to say that George Carlin wasn't one of those people. I'm certain he was offered a series or a this or that. That's not the route he would go.
I remember his appearances on Laughing.
Sure. No, I remember him on Flip Wilson. That was what I remember him from. Yeah. Flip Wilson Show. He was the hippie-looking guy from the Flip Wilson Show. That's what I remember George Carlin. And when I remember hearing I was like, oh, hey, that was my connection to George Carlin. You know, and you always wonder, what happened to Flip Wilson? Like, he had this big show, and then all of a sudden,
that's true.
Like,
never happened.
You never heard anything bad, but like.
But he died, didn't he?
No, he didn't die.
Yes, he did.
I mean, recently he died, but I mean, he was around all those years.
His career died, and then he died.
Well, you know, his career, it didn't just die, it just like flamed out. Because
that's the problem right there.
You know, I
flame thing.
Stop the flame thing.
It was Where'd a man before that? His time.
Stop. Where'd you hear that? I never heard that.
I'm teasing.
George
anyway.
Carlin was the first guest host on Saturday Night Live, actually.
Yep.
Was he the very first? Yes, I had the first season. Yeah. I should watch that. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Look at that. Hello, you're on the air. Hey, what's happening here, Joe?
I don't know.
Hello, you're on the air. Chris?
There are people just trying to call, but they're not
there. Is someone there?
Oh, they're calling.
Oh, no. People saw the thing. It was on tonight. The, whatchamacallit.
What?
Inside Edition was on tonight.
Again?
Yes, it was on again. And that's someone playing me being embarrassed on Inside Edition. Hello, you're on the air. Wow.
Somebody dropped it.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Where are the cupcakes tonight?
Cupcakes are. This is all testosterone this evening.
Where's the German treat? The
German treat isn't here. Neither is the Southern treat or any of the other treats we have here.
More like a tribble in the tree.
Stop. Hello, you're on the air.
You're on the ass end of a microphone there. That's all you are. The ass end of a microphone. That's all you do. Nothing else. I am the only one who matters in New York. I'm the biggest story in New York history.
There it is. Biggest story in New York in history. Always guest starring here on Night Shift. Hello, you're on the air. Joe, we're getting like all these calls and I can't pick anybody up. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, is this Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Oh, man. You guys put him up to it, didn't you? Hello, you're on the air. That's weird. We got some kind of something happening there. Hello, you're on the air.
Mike?
Yes.
I'll call you back in two.
All right. Thank you. How will I know? Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, man. That's
How can
funny.
I know? Hello, you're on the air. Either we get nobody,
hello,
or people who call back. Hello, you're near.
Yes, hello, Joe.
Yes, George.
There is no such word as ascorbic wit. No. Ascorbic. The word is acerbic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ascorbic acid, though. He was mistaking ascorbic acid with acerbic wit. They're both bitter. One is a bitter tasting vitamin. The other one is bitter wit. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? Don't you understand?
And you're arrogant. And you cannot take any kind of correction. I wouldn't want to be a director in a movie.
Yeah, but you got to understand, I'm arrogant about you correcting Joe. Now, you're not
Why? Why are you arrogant about that?
I don't know. I didn't really think it was arrogant, but, you know, that's the way you responded, so I'm just going with it.
Well, I called it arrogant because it is so difficult.
You mean arrogant, like calling up to correct somebody on the air?
Oh, you consider that?
No, you see, it's all about interpretation. I could consider
you know, we're wearing Hawaiian shirts tonight.
Look,
are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt too? Look at that, Joe's wearing the Hawaiian. It's summer.
If I
this is summer music. Joe, listen, George.
Yes.
Have a cocktail.
Of what?
I love George.
George should be like that. George should be sitting here and like. Every time you say
I'm
something
not.
Wrong,
no,
he can just correct.
Here. I'm not sitting here waiting for you to make mistakes.
George.
Yes.
Have a cocktail.
Of what?
Anything.
A Molotov cocktail?
What's your pleasure?
Anything that'll chill you out.
I would love some LSD right
George,
now, I'll tell you that.
Listen to the show, and it is like
already.
LSD.
What's
yep,
that?
The show is like LSD. It's
you wish.
High without the chemicals.
You wish. Okay.
I
bye
wish.
Bye.
Look at you.
Bye-bye.
Look at George. George is
like
a little
got
bit
some
of,
issues.
Yeah, exactly.
He could use that LSD.
Yeah, I wish you could get me. Hello, you are the air. Hello.
You got a PhD in literature, you know.
I believe it.
Yeah. He's at NYU.
Yeah, who's here?
I told George was a hippie.
Okay, hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Mike.
Yes.
How about Dave Chappelle?
Is this Dave Chappelle?
How about Dave Chappelle?
What happened?
Well, he didn't start with TV, but, you know.
Well, Dave Chappelle, he's from TV. Come on. I mean, he's big. He didn't get big in the movies. He would have, though. I mean, he still could. I mean, Dave Chappelle's
is pretty
big.
They all started.
That's what I'm saying. They all did start in TV, the biggest comedians that we know. I mean, that's just the deal. It just makes sense. There aren't that many that cross over.
What would Richard Pryor
really
Pryor
from
been?
Stand-up.
Play some George Carlin, please.
Thank you.
Richard Pryor, where would you put him in the scheme?
Well, Richard Pryor is one of the few crossovers, like George Carlin. He's a crossover. He's a true crossover. He didn't do the whole TV thing.
Yeah,
he
thing
went straight to movies because and he stayed a scorbic, as Joe would say.
Joe's not speaking now.
Joe is speaking. That's right. I'm just it's a long weekend. You know what I mean, Chris?
Oh, what did you do?
I was at the poorly attended Fangoria convention.
Poorly attended because you didn't talk about it on the show.
That's right. If we had talked about it on the show, we were preempted for Bloomsday last week, and if we had talked about it on the show, it would have been a big hit. It
would have been huge.
That's the thing. Look what's happened with all the things that we promote every year. Hello, you're on the air. Why do you think we're getting so many dial tones, Joe?
People using calling cards.
Something's
your time
happened with
is
that
up.
Line. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, at least you're not gated yet like that other buffoon on Thursday nights. You know, he gated up the show over there.
You mean Ibrahim?
At least you're staying, you're taking your punishment here.
Ibrahim Gonzalez?
No, the other buffoon there, Bob Fass.
Oh, you don't like Bob Fass? Bob Fass, you know, I have to hang up on you now. All right.
What are you doing?
I'm going to share this with you.
Thank you.
There.
So instead of 5 hours,
there
it's
it is.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. Exactly.
It's 2.5 hours.
There it is, 2.5 hours. It's long enough to do the show.
I feel left out now.
You are. If you were here, you could have. Back in the day, it used to be Jolt. Now.
Oh, now you're telling the 5.5 hour shot?
A 5.5 hour shot.
That's the new thing. I got to know what the new thing is.
That's the new thing. That's the new thing. It's late at night. You want to keep playing Monopoly?
Monopoly.
Is that what
you call it? Your house?
How is it? I haven't tried it.
It's amazing.
You know, I wanted to say something.
It's amazing. I'll just tell you that.
I wanted to say something.
You're dragon. You have that.
Something
you're good. What?
We one of the things that plays up in the movie Wanted.
Yeah.
Is the concept of fate.
Fate. Okay.
And who you are now. I got here early tonight, you know, because I went to the movie and stuff, and I was sitting here in the chair, and I was trying to figure out how to make something work. You know, to have some music before you came. And I was listening to the news. And are you aware that that between Obama talking about this past Father's Day, about, you know, the situation that he went through as a kid growing up in New York State, that there is a bill before the New York State Senate where they want to make equal parental custody the norm?
I'm with that.
And that
these
mothers are protesting because they want to say
bravo.
Like, yeah,
hold on, bravo. Okay, I can't. I don't even have any echo.
But anyway, that they were saying that the mothers were protesting it and stuff because most fathers who they're saying that, well, fathers who fight for their rights for their kids are just like pedophiles or whatever, and that's what the
are just like pedophiles.
Right, and stuff.
Connect those dots for me.
I know, and that the you know that the legislatures the legislators
who said this? Is this supposed
it was on the news. It's like I wanted to say to you. I wanted to. I was going to say. I wanted to find the spot on the
even. What's the exact quote, Joe?
That basically that some of these fix that, will you? That some of these mothers said that, you know, most fathers who fight for the to have, you know, equal custody of their kids are, you know, pedophiles or. You know, deviants or...
Yeah, you know, see, I got to tell you, all of that stuff, it's, you know, Joe, you know, I have very, very, very strong feelings about it, so I'm not going to go into it here and go way off on a tirade, but I will say this.
That
kind of generalization, it just makes, it's like saying all black people are thieves, you know, all this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so non-productive. All men are dogs.
You
know,
I had college
all women are H's and D's. Or, you know, come on. Yeah. All those men who all those fathers who want to be fathers. Anyway,
I should find.
Let me
purple.
Not get distracted. So, Joe, I have to talk to you about the theme of the show.
Okay.
You tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. WBAI. So you said you'd rather go back into the club. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I'd rather go back
in. You'd rather go back in the club.
Was Chris?
Yeah.
Did you hear the music early on in the show? Or
yeah, the Pink Floyd and everything.
Oh yeah, was that nice? Good Pink Floyd thing.
That's great.
And the funny thing is the Annie Lennox piece I played.
Hey, what's the funny thing?
The irony of the situation is that
funny thing.
I had been there's a Cadillac commercial that's on TV that they used at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Okay.
And in the Annie Lennox dance remix there's a gap of music kind of thing in between the choruses and stuff.
Okay.
It's the sound bite that they use in the Cadillac commercials.
The fact that you know that says you watch too much TV. Though.
No, because before every movie at the Tribeca Film Festival,
they were playing that stupid thing.
Surely, yeah. So, but I didn't get to play.
Wow, film festivals have commercials now.
Yeah.
Wow. I just had to let that sink in for a second.
So
there it is. There are commercials everywhere. Everything you have. There's more potential to advertise.
And I'm going to put up, I'll give it to you. I'll put it up on the website.
What?
You've heard, and Chris, I know you've heard it too, the Bear McCreary cover of All Along the Watchtower that he did for season 3.
Yes.
I was
season 3 of Battlestar Galactica. For those who are not listening, Bear McCreary is the composer of the score for Battlestar Galactica. The entire series. And he's been on the show here several times and is the editor's note.
And I was watching the trailers for the new Batman movie. And I had that on in the background because I was doing some work with the music. And I had this epiphany because the scenes in the movie were matching up with his cover of All Along the Watchtower. I mean, the opening line to All Along the Watchtower, one line is the Joker says to the thief. And I'm just looking at the trailer, so I called up my guy at Warner Brothers, and he's sending me all the trailers and the EPK, and I've been cutting together a music video.
Put it on YouTube.
So
Do it.
I was inspired. I was just like,
inspired.
I became possessed.
All right, so is it done?
No, almost done. I'm waiting to get the final footage.
Put it up?
Yes.
What's your name going to be? What are you going to call yourself?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to call myself. But,
what was it? What was it? Macabre?
J.B. Macabre.
J.B.
Yes,
Macabre.
There you go.
J.B. Macabre.
You know,
what is it B for? What is it? Bartholomew?
Yes.
You know, a friend of mine, he's a bass player, and he put this, he's wearing a mask, and he's on there with some like 50 YouTubes.
With
Angry Bass Player, it's called.
Angry Bass Player.
Playing bass and talking about people. And he's got a mask on. I'm like, what has happened to you?
That's too funny.
He's done 50 of them.
That's fun. Does he have fans?
Yes, he's like 10,000 hits or whatever. It's like Angry, it's called Angry Bass Player.
Wow. Well, you know, there it is, Joe. J.B. McCobb. J.B. McCobb. I say yes.
All right,
so wait, hold on a second, Joe.
I'll tell you, this guy Joe is a very good orator, you know? Joe over there, but I don't understand. I mean, when are you going to start, you know, getting out of the old mindset and into the new intellect? We'll be right back.
tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio.
WPAR 99.5.
It's a great group.
It's summer.
Yes, it is. This past weekend, it happened.
This is a good, like, summer groove, you know.
Oh, this is you leaving town.
That's it. You're leaving town.
Just like, you know, they try to call you, and it's like the music.
In a convertible with a guard dog.
Exactly. The sunglasses. Your hair blowing. All right, my hair doesn't really blow in the wind, but...
You know...
What?
Mike Hine, my good friend and director of the New York City Horror Film Festival, his girlfriend has a convertible.
Yeah.
Every chance he gets... Gets his ass into that convertible. It shows up. He's got the sunglasses on.
Of course.
Listen, do you love your girlfriend or do you love the convertible?
I'm with that. Hello, you're on the air. Right, for some reason, that line cuts people off. Hello, you're on the air.
Sergeant.
Yes.
Explain yourself.
All right, who are you?
Inside Edition.
You know, there's no explanation. I can't explain myself. What can I say? I was caught. They lulled me into a false sense of security. That was like a 45-minute interview. And it's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Huh.
What are they talking about?
Oh, they're talking to me on Inside Edition.
I didn't see it. What is it?
You remember, I ran that snippet in that one mix I did that night.
Yes, Joe's already made fun of
me
about this.
The anti-mic mix?
It was shot sometime last year, and so it resurfaces now like an old war wound.
What did you say? What happened?
You know, one day you'll see
like
it. Somebody
Kirk,
will
my old friend.
Exactly.
Sweet surfaces.
It is the old wound, sir.
Christopher, I will send it to you.
Yes, I know he will.
We have copies for sale. We'll give it away at the next marathon.
Oh, I can't believe it. An embarrassing moment of Mike?
Yes.
It exposes Mike for what he did.
Oh!
Thank you.
Man, I thought Rachel Ray was fun enough.
No, Rachel Ray
blows away Rachel Ray.
Blows away Rachel Ray.
But you know, you didn't see me on the morning show.
I saw you on the morning show.
You saw me
on
the morning show.
You have that clip?
I don't have that.
I saw you on the morning show with what's his face,
Mike and whatever her name is.
Sergeant is the hack of all.
Yes, but some people hack at a higher level.
That's right. You gotta hack
and
it out.
He
higher
is
level.
Not one of them.
Ooh. Thank you. Couple of things, Joe.
Yes.
The theme.
Yes.
The theme is letting go, and either what you need to let go of or what you have let go of and how it's changed you. So, Chris?
Yes.
You go first.
Me go. I just hit me with the theme. So.
That's right. I want you to go first. I want to know what you've let go of.
What have I let go of? I'm in the transition of let go of a lot of things, but I got to think about this for a minute.
Tell me what you really need to let go of.
I didn't. I just found that about 5 minutes
ago.
The
way Mr. Sergeant let go of his credibility.
Well, what did they say on the...
You know, listen,
how would
he
even get on
to
Inside Edition? That show
You know,
is...
that's the whole thing, you know?
And you gotta see, he looks like Willy Wonka with his purple jacket on. See, he left...
What are they on there for?
You know, by the way, can I just say, I saw the poster for,
Oh, you saw the poster for Tropic of Thunder.
The Tropic of Thunder. I did see the poster for the Robin that I, and I do not look.
You look like
exactly like.
Shut up! Hello, you on the air.
You see where is the poster? Again, let's tell everyone to go look it up online.
Tropic of Thunder.
I do not look like the poster.
Robert Downey Jr. looks like Mike Sargent.
Robert Downey Jr.
And you
want to
know something? Some of the airbrush that he even looks more like him. Like they got it like a they got like one of those standees in the theaters now.
Yeah, that's the one
and
I
you
saw.
Look even more, it looks even more like you.
Oh man!
Does
I
not.
I want to go to that junket.
Why
just
is
to
the
take
theme
the picture
of
Robert Downey Jr.
become
and
make
Mike.
Fun of Mike?
Hello.
Sorry about that, sir.
Yes. Hello.
Back in the 70s, BAI had a program called Psychosomatic Radio. It was a pro-recreational drugs program once a week. The guy was Bruce Brown.
Okay.
Hey, Bruce, why don't you call in?
All right. Well, in case he listens to every show.
Yeah, Bruce Brown calling. I'd like to hear you. That was a great program. We need it again on BAI.
You've been listening to BAI for a long time.
The quality of drugs have gone downhill, sir.
What?
The quality of drugs have gone downhill. I mean, you can't get mushrooms anymore. You can't get acid anymore. I mean,
did you used to get mushrooms, Joe?
Huh?
Did you ever cook
peyote
with mushrooms?
Buttons? You know,
peyote buttons. I've never had peyote. Have you had peyote?
Yes.
What's that?
Mushrooms
like?
Are
What's
actually
like?
Legal in Jamaica and in Holland.
Yeah, they're not legal here.
Well, Joe, that means you can go to Jamaica or Holland to get your mushrooms.
Yeah, but you can't
just try
them
and get
back.
Them back. No, well, you can't bring them. You just gotta stay there and be stoned. And they come back.
Order
they come back.
The heck with Disneyland.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Anybody else?
Yes.
I'll hang on. Let somebody else on.
You want me to let somebody else on?
What?
Okay. Are you going to tell me what you let go of?
Directing traffic?
Hello, you're on the air.
Paul Wonder also part of that?
What's that?
Was it also Paul Wonder part of that show?
I don't know.
No, the program I'm talking about was a guy named Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I think Paul also was on the show.
Yeah, but, you know.
Probably scoring,
you
but, you know.
But you
know
what I'm talking about, that Bruce Brown program? A memory drug, which is sort of like a forerunner to the smart drugs today. He was doing that back 30 years ago.
I mean, the one that they
give. Interesting that the recreational drug show was also promoting smart drugs and memory drugs.
Now, why were you listening to such a show, sir?
Why was I listening to that?
Yes.
Well, I think there's a positive side to it. I think the brain wants to be turned on. You know, it doesn't want to age, it doesn't want to atrophy. I think drugs can work both ways. It could be an anti-atrophy sort of experience to the brain itself.
I understand. Now, I have a question for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, is there anything in your life that you know you need to let go of, or you have let go of and are changed for it?
Actually, no.
No, you've
no,
left
I would
nothing
say no
behind. And there's nothing you need
that
to let go
mean,
of.
That doesn't mean it wouldn't change in the future, but I would say no right
I
now.
I understand. Okay, well, that's. I hope that's honest.
Carriers, they transfer information from one point to another.
So, Joe.
I gotta tell you, it was funny because you're playing all the summer music.
Yeah.
There's a guy on, what is it, the New York?
It's summer.
There's a guy on the New York radio station down at 1 Center Street there.
New York radio station?
Yeah, you know, like the radio station of New York City. I forget the call. No.
Yeah, what station is that?
He
does, on that station?
He does a calypso. He does a Calypso show every Friday night.
Calypso show, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he plays the Mighty Sparrow.
So, it was...
The Mighty Sparrow.
He played this one song. It was very funny last Friday night. It was a Calypso song from Puerto Rico about a guy.
Calypso Rican.
Yeah, and this guy goes, and every time he, like, finds a woman he wants to marry... He goes and asks his father, you know, for his blessing, and he goes. The father's like, "Well, you can't marry her because that's your sister, and your mother doesn't know." Until finally, the kid like becomes so frustrated, he goes to his mother and goes, "Mom, you know, whatever." He goes, "Don't worry, go marry that girl because you're not your father's son, and he don't know."
Stop! Stop!
It was.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, look, they just sent me this.
Fear? No, scare tactics. Boo! Yes, boo! Boo!
I thought it made a sound.
It doesn't do anything.
Well, it doesn't do anything.
What does it mean?
What is the crazies around
what,
here?
They send a DVD?
Yeah, I guess. What is the show all about?
They set people up. They put them in, like, you know, funhouse situations.
Can we talk about The Happening?
Oh, I saw The Happening. I reviewed The Happening.
What did you review? You didn't ever review.
I didn't
Joe review. Didn't review it. We got about you, Wayne. Right, Joe is what's important.
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
I liked it, too. The only thing I had a problem with is I think they really could have went somewhere with it, and they didn't.
Well, you know what it is, Chris?
It's not they.
The problem with
it is... Didn't you hear my interview, by the way, with M. Night?
No.
All right, go ahead.
Go
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry.
We got so used to seeing the big monsters and stuff and whatnot that, you know, there's only one film that I think in the last few years actually touched on, you know, more environmental issues. Remember that movie Frogs?
Frogs.
About the swamp. And Ray Milland is in it, and they're poisoning.
From the 70s.
Yeah.
Frogs, yes, of course.
So, I mean, this just took it to a different level where it was, you know, a very simplistic biological response to man's, you know.
Right.
So,
I understood that. I just thought that a person that had isolated themselves from everything.
Betty Buckley.
They could have gone in a direction with that.
Yeah, it was over too abruptly. It seemed like a means to an end, but still.
It didn't matter, even if you were, you know, out of connection with the rest of the world and living completely isolated from everything, that didn't matter. You'd still die, too. You know, it seemed like...
Too bleak for you?
Well, you know, I just thought that... I think that just like in I Am Legend, you know, they could have gone into another level, and it just seemed like they just didn't want to bother with it. They just were like, okay,
not they, it's M. Night.
I didn't like the alternate ending either to Iron Legend.
You didn't like the alternate ending?
I didn't see the alternate ending. Don't tell me. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
I just got a thought.
What?
When an individual goes into a coma and they're trying to, I don't know, they're trying to pull them out of it, do you suppose that something... You know, bringing them to their senses could work. I mean, in other words, LSD given to somebody who's in a coma would sort of not bring them out of it and get them to their senses.
No, it could send them further and further into the dream world.
No, I think it would bring them to their senses. I mean, how do you sleep? You don't sleep on LSD.
You need to get a grant.
You know, it's certainly not a sleeper's drug.
You should get a grant.
Yeah, do studies on mice.
This is the dream
studies
world.
On mice.
Well, I think they were to study. I mean, you know, couldn't hurt somebody in a coma. It might work.
And you used to listen to the drug shows back in the 60s, right?
No, the 70s.
70s, there it is. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, there's a memory drug you can buy. It's called vasopressin. And it's been proven that people can remember lists of words something like 40% more.
That'd be good. Help me remember the theme.
You know, you remember when Al Gore said he invented the Internet?
Yes.
Well, actually, you know who invented the Internet? It's, for the most part, a single person pulled it off, a Nigerian fellow. He was able to get 8 supercomputers to communicate, talk to each other simultaneously. So it's another instance like Thomas Edison ripping off Louis Latimer on the light bulb, Al Gore ripping off... this Nigerian fellow. I don't remember. I don't have his name in front of me right now, but I just pulled it down from the internet.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, why are you up so late?
Staking LSD and
I just
can't
woke
sleep.
Up.
You just woke up.
Yeah.
Hello?
Can we get some LSD for her?
I'm asleep.
It's a dream. Joe.
Hey, it's Bruce Brown, call in.
Thank you. Joe. Wow, what was that?
Everybody has their own agenda.
Hello, you're on the air.
I do the only radio that matters.
Did you invent the internet?
I'm better than the internet.
Of course.
Are you wired in?
Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
You should let go of that thin mustache, you know. It makes you look like lascivious Times Square Tim Stone on Sneaky Beat.
You know, Mike, there's also a new documentary on The Who. Have you seen that?
I haven't. No.
You have it?
Yes.
Have you watched it?
No, I didn't get to watch it. I let Eugene watch it first. He watched it.
It's great.
He said it was great, so I'm going to watch
great.
It.
It's great. They got some footage, like, back in the, like, 1960, like, 2 or something. It's just amazing.
I'm going to watch it.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's just like, just who knew about Entwistle? Who knew?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Did you see The Love Guru?
No.
Now, yeah, Joe, now you, in contrary to all critics, you say The Love Guru is good.
Well, it was funny because we were waiting to go into the screening, and there was a representative from Paramount there, and younger girl, and how she was saying, oh, you know, this is so old school, and everything now is super bad, and blah, 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 and that's this generation's comedy. But you know what?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
Who was saying?
She'll remain nameless.
All right, this person was saying this in reference to what?
That the reason why she didn't like Love Guru, because
okay.
It was a dated comedy.
Oh, okay.
That
okay,
its
okay.
style wasn't the new style of what comedy is.
What freaking new style? Judd Apatow?
Knocked Up.
Like Knocked Up,
That's
Super Bad.
Not new.
Knocked Up.
You know, Pineapple
Judd
Express.
Judd Apatow is the new style.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And I'm like, you know what?
He's just the current run, okay? A few years back, it was the Whatchamacallit Brothers. You know, these long, drawn-out,
high-concept... Brothers.
Not the Zucker Brothers.
Something
about Mary.
Oh, the Farley Brothers.
That was that was 6 years ago.
And they
before
faded.
That was Babalu Mandel and whatever
Babalu?
His name is. Yeah, Howie whatever and... Babalu Mandel, whatever, they wrote everything. You know, they were the comedy king.
You know what?
Before that, it was John Landis. And come on.
But I have to say, I liked it because it was very reminiscent of you know, what Mel Brooks used to do. And there was a lot of thought put in. I mean, all the acronyms and all the different things that were in there. And you know, yeah, there was some physical comedy, as was in some of the Mel Brooks films. You know, and I liked it. It was just refreshing to see that again. I laughed.
Mel Brooks made more bad films than good.
I know.
Okay.
This would have been like a mediocre Mel Brooks film.
Men in Tights.
No.
No.
Mel Brooks started taking himself too serious, is what Mel Brooks.
He became an auteur.
Well, you know, there's a side, and that's what I was thinking was happening with Love Guru, but I don't know. I haven't seen it. You know,
I liked it. You know, and that's funny
like
because
Myers,
one of our
so.
Colleagues,
you know what?
Said
if
you
didn't
like
the
it,
show, it's got to be good. I mean, I'm going to
if
say
he
that.
Liked it, it's got to be
no,
good.
No, I am not saying I loving it. Let's. I saw. We saw Zohan, and it was a lot better than Zohan.
Was it ascorbic?
No.
Zohan made a lot of money. Zohan made you know.
Zohan is come on.
That didn't make.
I gave
a lot
my
of
review
money.
To Zohan too.
So.
Zohan make like 80 million already?
80 million.
80 million.
Yeah, don't mess with Zohan.
Let's see how much Zohan
made. Somebody needs to... Never mind.
What?
Whereas Love Guru only did $14 million.
That's correct. It is a bomb.
It and there were a lot of good...
How do you say bomb?
Le bomb. There were a lot of good cameos in it, too, and stuff. It was just... It was, you know...
Well, you know, I didn't see any of the Austin Powers movies.
I didn't like the third one.
I didn't see it. Everybody says that.
First
Everybody
two
said
were
the
good.
First two were great. So the third one is just one long joke.
Yeah.
Same thing over and over.
And the whole gold member thing I didn't do.
I didn't see it. But
if Joe said it,
I didn't. I also, I'm not sure if I saw, I think I saw I Married an Axe Murderer, and that was not a good example of Mike Myers.
I liked that one. They're releasing it on Blu-ray.
It was Le Bon.
So no, that made money.
what is that?
Head pants now.
It is what they call a bomb. Not a hit, but a bomb. Not a hit, a bomb.
That's your new quote. A bomb.
It is.
Then Wilson.
How do you say a bomb?
Then Wilson was saying something about how that they were protesting the movie.
Who was protesting?
See,
the movie?
That you know it was offensive to Indian people.
Oh well, see there it is. That's good.
The coup d'état of Love Guru is they get
the coup d'état.
They
of
get
Love Guru.
He gets Ben Kingsley.
I know to play
his guru.
You thought that was a coup d'état?
That was.
I read that
funny.
In a review. Well, it sounds fun. It's a stunt casting.
He's the cross-eyed guru.
Jump the shark.
Tugging my pooter.
Talking about Puda. Yeah, I heard.
Zohan's on $84 million.
Yeah, but how long has it been out?
Yeah, listen, it's a hit.
Weeks.
Zohan's a hit. That has nothing to do with it. Zohan's a hit. Whether I think it's crap or not, you know, or, you know.
Whereas Get Smart did $40 million.
Yeah, Get Smart's good.
Adam
I thought
Sandler
Get Smart was
Shaggy
good.
And Eleni Kazan.
Get Smart is good.
But the best is Sex and the City did $132 million.
That's best that's because there's a lot of unmarried single
and Iron Man.
Women who don't have a clue
Iron
in
Man,
New York.
$300 million.
$300 million.
Indiana Jones, $290 million.
Now you saw the Hulk,
come on,
right?
Come on. I like the Hulk.
I like it too.
All right, now we can
$100 million on the Hulk.
I can review the Hulk. Hulk made $100 million. I'm glad it's making money. You know, the Hulk was good. What worked about this version of the Hulk is that it's a reimagining, but they really have kind of gone back to the roots of the TV series and the mm-hmm. comic book. And what made the series work, which was smart, was that fugitive wandering, like no matter what he gets into in his life, at some point he hulks out and just screws everything up, and then he's got to move on.
But
you know,
but he saves somebody.
But he saves somebody.
Right.
So it works, and it works that he's trying to find a cure, and the Hulk has a great cast of villains. You know, if they find a through line to carry characters. You see, what really works for a series...
And chemistry.
Chemistry.
Between
Liv
Tyler and Ed Norton.
Sure, but you got to make us care and love the characters. If we care and love
what
the characters...
What about Hellboy?
We'll sit through Lethal Weapon 4. What? Hellboy. I'm with Hellboy. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
You like to play Knuckle Mary?
You know something?
You want to play Knuckle Mary?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that means.
Hello, you're
in the
air.
That's a great line.
Hello, Mike?
Yes.
Yes, I got two questions. This is Wayne from the Bronx. Two questions. How'd you like the Dead movie with George A. Romero? And what was the guy's name that wrote for Richard Pryor?
The guy that wrote for Richard Pryor? You're talking about...
the comedy or his movies?
His comedy.
Yeah, comedy.
He's talking about... what's his name? Who's still
Dave Chappelle?
No,
they
not
said it's
Dave
the guy,
Chappelle.
The guy that played on House Party with the freckles. They say he's the guy that wrote for Richard Pryor. Is that true?
I don't know about all that.
About Knuckle Mary. Nobody touched nothing.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, and the Dead movie, George A. Romero.
I'll let Joe answer that.
Wait,
Joe.
The new one that just came out?
The last one, obviously.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it.
Okay.
Wait, sir, I got a question for you, sir.
Huh?
I got a question for you. I got two questions for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
In your life, is there anything that you've let go of and you're better off because you did?
Yeah, my last girlfriend.
Stop. Alright, how about this? Is there anything you know you need to let go of? Huh? You let go of the phone. Hello, you're on the air.
I don't got time for you.
Hello?
Yeah, what is unwittingly receiving LSD and a no-hitter have in common?
I don't know.
Doc Ellis. Some girl gave him a hit of acid, unbeknownst to him, about an hour before a game. He had a pitch, and he threw a no-hitter.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, you know what's also interesting, Mike?
What?
What happened in Vegas did $78 million, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall did $62
million. Why is that interesting?
That's interesting to me, because it goes along the lines of...
Well, look at how much.
What is that?
Fool's Gold.
Oh yeah,
that piece of crap.
I let go of going to movies.
Hello, you're on the air. Joe, we haven't even given out the phone number, so the people calling are not even listeners; they're callers.
There you go.
Hello, you're on the air.
Joe, what do you mean by the expression coup d'état?
Oh.
Do I mean it's? Oh, should I have said coup d'état?
George gets in the first place. But Joe comes back with a salad right in the face.
Come on, Joe. What does it mean? The
way
you used it. The way you misused it.
Come on, Joe.
Come on, Joe.
What does it mean?
Don't be scared. It can't hurt.
Oh, I love George. He's like the encyclopedia.
It cannot hurt. It cannot hurt, Joe. It can only help drop. What you have to do is drop the fact that you write for some kind of a publication, you know, and try to...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.